from our Lord and Savior Jesus. The text for the message is our Old Testament reading from Jonah 3, together with the Gospel from Mark chapter 1, where we read, "After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the Gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Gospel.'" Thus far the text. Of all the Old Testament prophets, the one whom Jesus most closely allied himself with is the prophet Jonah. For many reasons, Jesus links himself with Jonah in his preaching and in his life. When Jesus is asked by the Pharisees for a sign, he responds, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here." So Jesus saw himself in the prophetic line of Jonah, but as one who was greater than Jonah. Today's gospel and Old Testament text are linked together by these common points between the life and the message of Jonah and Jesus. First, note that the kingdom of God is near in both their proclamations. God is king of all the earth. He is the creator of all people, animals, and everything else. And yet sometimes people begin to forget about God and the relationship that he desires with every part of his creation. Jonah was sent to remind the people of Nineveh of the kingship of God over all creation. Jesus also came to Galilee proclaiming the nearness of God's kingdom. We may mistakenly think of the kingdom of God as being out there or of coming to us at the very end of our lives, but in truth, it is not far away in distance or a long time in the future. For the kingdom of God comes to us in Jesus Christ. The kingdom comes through the Word and through baptism and through the Lord's Supper, in which Jesus dwells and in which the kingdom is near for us still today. So when Jesus told the people of God that the kingdom of God was near, he was not saying that the end of the world was upon them, but that he himself had come into the world to bring salvation, and that he was now in their neighborhood doing just that. Jesus was saying that when they looked upon him, they could see the kingdom. When they heard the message that he was bringing, and realized that he himself was the promised Messiah of the world, they could enter that kingdom for themselves. Just because Jesus announced the nearness of the kingdom does not mean, though, that there is no opposition to the kingdom. Sometimes the opposition comes from outside. John the Baptist had just been put into prison. He was attacking the lifestyle of Herod as part of his call to preach, and as a result, Herod had him cast into prison. And yet that event, the arrest of John, propels Jesus into his public ministry. In the face of opposition, the time has come for him to proclaim the kingdom of God. John is put into prison, and then Jesus begins to preach the same message that John had been proclaiming. Repent and believe the good news. There is no difference in the message of their proclamation, except that John was pointing to the good news, and Jesus was the good news himself. Sometimes the opposition comes from inside. The Ninevites were focused on their own pursuit of wealth and power. They were so busy setting up their own kingdom that they could not see the kingdom of God anymore. Jonah himself has some internal opposition, as he was afraid of going and preaching to the Ninevites, even though God had told him to do it and would protect him and empower him
in that preaching. Simon, Andrew, James, and John were fishing when Jesus called them, participating in their family business. Now, when you're involved in a family business, it's hard to pull up stakes and start a new career. But that is what they were called to do, and there was no hesitation on their part because of who it was that called them. At once they left their nets and followed him. Because of such opposition, following Jesus calls for sacrifice. As Jonah learned, and as the disciples learned, and as we too learn, it may be to sacrifice our time. It may be to sacrifice our careers. It may be to sacrifice our fears, as Jonah learned. But what message changed the hearts of the Ninevites? It was Jonah's simple sermon, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. He didn't have to be an eloquent speaker, but he just had to preach that one simple line. And what was the result of his preaching? The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. God offers the good news of peace through Jesus Christ to people of every nation who will turn from their sins and false gods and believe in the salvation that God offers to them. For Jesus also preached a very simple message to the Jewish people. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. It was a simple message that he gave, and yet people were drawn to it. We don't find out from Mark 1 what kind of response Jesus drew from the people to his preaching. But look at Jesus' forerunner, John, who had proclaimed the same message. People went out to John from Jerusalem and from all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Many people responded to John's simple preaching of repentance, and many others did likewise with Jesus. But there is one major difference in the response of Prophet Jonah and Jesus. After the Ninevites repent to his preaching, Jonah is angry with God. We learn that his fear is not so much the threats to his own life or the preaching that he was called to do, but indeed fear that the Ninevites would repent and they would turn from their evil ways, and that God would relent from his promised destruction. The people of Nineveh had been oppressing Jonah's people of Israel, and Jonah wanted to see them destroyed. But through his acts of mercy to Gentiles and his great commission, Jesus shows that he wants all people to repent and to believe the good news, Jews and Gentiles alike. So how about you? Do you pray for the salvation of your enemies and those who persecute you, as Jesus taught? Or do you cheer when calamity comes upon them and it seems that they are getting the destruction that they deserve? 10 years ago, Lutheran Hour Ministries and the LCMS took up a special collection to help refugees in the Middle East, refugees who were being displaced from their homes and forced out of their country by fighting with Islamic State. Lutheran Hour received some gifts in that campaign that came with explicit instructions. No money was to be used to help the Muslim refugees, only for Christians who were displaced from their homes by the fighting. What do those special instructions mean? It shows that the givers were prejudiced and only wanting to help Christians. They in no way wanted to help those who were seen as their enemies, the Muslims. But often such material aid opens the door for the proclamation of the gospel, especially when it is administered by our local affiliates of Lutheran Hour Ministries. Muslims indeed want to know why Christians would help them and open their hearts to them in their hour of need. God had to open Jonah's eyes to help him to see that the Ninevites were also in need of God's mercy. God also opens our eyes to see our sin and our need for repentance in receiving the good news. The key is humility, as Jonah needed to learn again. I do not deserve God's mercy and grace any more than my enemies deserve it. But God freely gives his mercy and forgiveness to me, and he freely offers that mercy to all who will repent and receive it. This indeed is a message of both joy and action. Jesus came to this earth to show that God accepts people from every nation equally in salvation. Jesus is the Lord of all. He is the Lord of all who trust in him for salvation and seek to live according to his will. He is also the Lord of those who know about his salvation and reject it, and those who have no knowledge of Christ whatsoever. Those who reject Jesus will be subject to him at the last day, and he will judge them deserving of eternal damnation if they continue their rejection. Regarding those who have no knowledge of Jesus, he works through us who believe in him and who seek to do his will to reach out to them with the gospel so that they too either believe in him or reject him. God shows that he is merciful rather than wrathful. God was using a threat of destruction with the people of Nineveh in order to move them to repentance. But God hates to resort to threats. When the people of Nineveh were so moved to repent by the preaching of Jonah, God instantly relented of his planned destruction, and instead he had compassion on those people. God shows that he is very concerned about his relationship with each of us and with all people in this world. He does not want people in this world to live unaware of our Creator and seeking only to do their own will. He desires to have fellowship with us and with all. He is so concerned about this fellowship that he's willing to allow our lives to be shaken by tragedy, so that we turn back to him to seek his guidance and fellowship. COVID-19 was recently one such tragedy that affected us here in America and indeed in all nations of the world. God uses the calamities of our individual lives to draw us closer to himself and to strengthen our faith. Jesus says to the disciples that he calls in the gospel, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You will not become fishers of men by following Jesus. The accent is on Jesus' activity in us as his followers. Whatever good we do, Jesus does through us and in us. We are fishers of men only through his strength. And the verb, "I will make you fishers of men," seems to imply training, not that we are zapped, but schooled throughout our lives to be better fishers of men. Today we celebrate that the kingdom is near to us. Wherever we find Jesus, in our worship, in the Bible, in the Lord's Supper, in our hearts, there the kingdom of God is near to us, making us God's people and saving us from sin, death, and the devil. But as that kingdom is worked out in our lives, we are also called to be fishers of men, to be prophets like Jesus and Jonah and John the Baptist, calling others to repent and to believe the good news of our Savior. Jesus is calling you today to be a fisher of men for him. We have reason to be thankful that God shows no favoritism or nationalism, because the Bible and the message of salvation in Christ, which originated in the Middle East, have been brought here to America by those who saw God as having no single nation of people. Now we use that same Bible here to bring salvation to our fellow Americans and to guide our lives. And now God is prompting us to take that message of salvation back to the Middle East, like Jonah, and to other areas of the world where false religions are leading millions of people to eternal death. The time is short, as our epistle reading today tells us. It moves us to be about the work and to be wise in our use of time. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.